Welcome to the deep dive. We're all about getting to the good stuff, right? Cutting through all that noise.
Absolutely.
And if you're digging what we're doing here, hit that subscribe button so you don't miss out. And speaking of good stuff, don't forget to check out the show notes.
Oh, yeah, definitely check out the show notes.
We've got a free briefing document on today's topic, plus a link to buy the book if you want to, really go deep.
Deep dive.
Today we're diving into Zero to One by Peter Thiel. And you sent us this book.
Great choice.
So clearly you're someone who's thinking about, innovation, entrepreneurship, maybe even dreaming of building that, the next big thing.
The next big thing.
And that's what Zero to One is all about, right? Creating companies that make a real impact, companies that go from zero to one.
It really challenges a lot of the conventional wisdom about business, and it's super relevant for anyone who's thinking about, starting or growing a company.
Okay, so let's unpack this whole zero to one idea.
Right.
What exactly does Thiel mean by that?
So he contrasts it with another type of progress, which he calls globalization. Globalization is about copying what works, taking something successful in one place and replicating it somewhere else. It's about going from one to N, expanding horizontally. Think of a business that opens a new store in a new city. That's globalization.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So then zero to one is about doing something completely different.
Exactly. It's about creating something truly new, something that hasn't been done before.
So for someone in business, this could be the difference between, say, opening another franchise location
Yeah.
versus developing a completely new product or service.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. And Thiel argues that we need more of this zero to one thinking, more radical innovation to really move the world forward.
And that brings us to one of Thiel's most controversial claims, right? The idea that monopolies can actually be good.
Yeah, definitely a counterintuitive idea, especially in a world where we're often taught to celebrate competition, right?
Right.
But Thiel argues that monopolies can be beneficial, but only if they're built on innovation.
So not just, cornering a market through shady business practices, but actually creating so much value that you become the dominant player.
Precisely. He uses Google as an example. Their early dominance in search allowed them to invest heavily in research and development, which led to even more innovative products like Google Maps and Android. And those innovations further strengthened their position.
So it created like a virtuous cycle.
Exactly, a virtuous cycle.
That makes sense. But are there other examples of this kind of good monopoly that you've seen, maybe even companies you've invested in?
I think Tesla is a good example. They've created a truly innovative product in the electric car market, and they've built a really strong brand around sustainability and technological advancement, and that's given them a significant advantage, even though they're competing in a well-established industry.
So it's not just about being first to market. It's about creating something truly unique and valuable that sets you apart.
Exactly. And Thiel argues that the obsession with competition can actually be a distraction, a trap that prevents companies from focusing on real innovation.
He even calls it a Shakespearean
He
tragedy.
does. He does. He compares the rivalry between companies to feuds between, Shakespearean families,
Right, yeah.
where the focus on defeating the opponent blinds them to bigger opportunities. And he uses the example of Microsoft and Google battling it out for dominance while Apple quietly revolutionized the tech industry with the iPod and the iPhone.
It's like being so focused on fighting your competitor in the same small pond that you miss the ocean altogether.
I love that. That's a great analogy. And I think it's a really valuable lesson for any business.
Right.
It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day competition and lose sight of the bigger picture.
So how do we avoid this trap? How do we build a company that achieves this monopoly status through innovation? Thiel outlines some key characteristics, right?
He does. He identifies four E traits: proprietary technology, network effects, economies of scale, and branding. These are like the building blocks of a truly innovative and defensible business.
Okay, let's break those down. Starting with proprietary technology, what exactly does Thiel mean by that?
So he's talking about having something truly unique, something that your competitors can't easily copy. Think of a revolutionary new drug, or a software algorithm that achieves breakthroughs in speed or efficiency.
Right.
It's about having that technological edge that gives you a significant advantage.
So not just incremental improvements, but like a quantum leap forward.
Right. He suggests that your technology should be at least 10 times better than the competition.
Wow.
To create a real barrier to entry.
Makes sense. What about network effects? That one always seems a bit abstract to me.
Yeah. It's a powerful concept, though. Network effects occur when a product or service becomes more valuable as more people use it. And the classic example is Facebook.
Wow.
The more friends you have on the platform, the more useful it becomes to you, and the harder it is for a competitor to, you know, lure you away.
So it's like a snowball effect.
Yeah.
The bigger you get, the harder it is to stop your momentum.
Exactly. And for someone in business, think about how you can build network effects into your product or service. Can you create a community around your brand? Can you incentivize users to invite their friends?
Those are great questions to consider. What about economies of scale? That sounds like something straight out of a business school textbook.
It is a fundamental business concept, but it's often overlooked by startups. Economies of scale are about the cost advantages that come with increasing size. As you grow, you can often produce and distribute your product or service more efficiently, which lowers your costs and increases your profit margins.
So it's about getting big enough to leverage your size and become more efficient.
Exactly. And this is where a lot of startups struggle. They might have a great product, but they haven't figured out how to scale their operations.
Right. Makes sense. Now on to the final characteristic, branding. That one seems pretty straightforward, but I'm guessing Thiel has a more nuanced take on it.
He does. He emphasizes that a strong brand is more than just a logo or a catchy slogan. It's about building a reputation for quality, reliability, and innovation.
So it's about the customer's overall experience with your company, not just their perception of your product.
Right. Think about companies like Apple or Nike. They've built incredibly strong brands that go beyond their products. People buy into their values, their aesthetics, their entire ethos. That's what a truly powerful brand can do.
So it's about creating an emotional connection with your customers, something that makes them want to be associated with your brand.
Exactly. And that's not something you can just manufacture overnight. It takes time, consistency, and a deep understanding of your target market.
That's a lot to think about. So building a 0-to-1 company, a company that creates something truly new and achieves this kind of dominance, is a complex undertaking.
Yeah.
It takes more than just a great idea.
It does.
It takes a unique combination of vision, strategy, and execution.
It does. But I think Thiel's book offers a valuable roadmap for anyone who's aspiring to build that kind of company.
And it all starts with a belief in the power of innovation, right? A belief that we can create a better future by building new things that make a real difference in the world.
Absolutely. It's about embracing that definite optimism that Thiel talks about, that belief that we can shape the future through our choices and our actions.
I love that. So if you're feeling inspired to build your own 0-to-1 company, don't miss part 2 of our deep dive, where we'll explore some of Thiel's more provocative and insightful ideas about how to achieve that ambitious goal.
Welcome back to the deep dive. We're in the middle of unpacking Peter Thiel's 0-to-1, and it's a book that's just packed with thought-provoking concepts, right? One idea that really resonated with me was this importance of long-term thinking, something that Thiel believes is often missing in today's, you know, business landscape.
You're right. He really hammers home this point about the dangers of short-termism, especially in a world that's so obsessed with, you know, quarterly earnings and instant gratification. But what does this long-term vision actually look like in practice, especially for someone who's, you know, building a business?
Yeah, I mean, it's about resisting that temptation to constantly chase the next shiny object, right? The quick win, the fleeting trend. Instead, it's about asking yourself, where do I want this company to be in 10 years? What kind of impact do I want to have on the world?
There's more than just projecting, you know, revenue growth or market share.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having a deeper purpose, a guiding principle that informs every decision you make.
Exactly. Thiel argues that this long-term vision was a key ingredient in some of the most transformative achievements in history, like the moon landing or the development of the internet. These were projects that took decades of sustained effort and required a belief in a future that didn't yet exist.
That's fascinating. It suggests that true innovation requires a certain level of faith, a willingness to commit to a vision, even when the path ahead is uncertain.
Thiel contrasts this with what he calls indefinite optimism, which is a more passive belief in progress without a concrete plan or a willingness to put in the work. It's like assuming that things will magically get better without any effort on our part.
So like winning the lottery or hoping for a sudden windfall, it's wishful thinking rather than strategic planning.
Exactly. Definite optimism, on the other hand, is about having a clear vision for the future and taking concrete steps to bring it about.
So coming back to our listener, their business plan, their product roadmap, even their hiring strategy, those could all be seen as expressions of definite optimism, right?
Absolutely.
They're actively shaping the future of their company rather than just hoping for the best.
Exactly. And Thiel argues that this mindset is crucial for building a company that not only survives, but thrives in the long run.
Now, Thiel also talks about this importance of secrets, this idea that great businesses are often built around hidden truths that others haven't discovered. This sounds a bit mysterious. What exactly does he mean by that?
He's not talking about literal secrets like classified information or hidden formulas. He's talking about unique insights or perspectives that give a company a competitive edge. It could be a new way of understanding a market, a unique approach to solving a problem, or even a company culture that fosters creativity and innovation.
So it's about finding that unfair advantage, that something special that sets you apart from the competition.
Right. And Thiel believes that these secrets are often hidden in plain sight. They're not necessarily buried in some obscure research paper or locked away in a vault. They're waiting to be discovered by those who are curious, observant, and willing to challenge conventional thinking.
So it's about cultivating a certain mindset, a willingness to question assumptions and to look for opportunities that others have missed.
Exactly. Thiel encourages us to be skeptical of received wisdom, to think for ourselves, and to explore the world with a sense of wonder and curiosity.
That reminds me of something we talked about earlier, the importance of going from zero to one, of creating something truly new. It seems that discovering these secrets is often a key part of that process.
It is. It's about finding those hidden paths, those unexplored territories where true innovation lies.
Now let's talk about the team. Thiel really emphasizes this importance of building the right team, especially when you're starting a company. He even compares choosing co-founders to getting married.
It's true, he sees it as a decision with long-term consequences, one that should be made carefully and deliberately.
So it's not just about finding people with complementary skills. It's about finding people who share your vision, your values, and your work ethic. People you can trust and rely on. People who'll be there for you through the inevitable ups and downs of building a company.
Exactly. Thiel talks about the importance of alignment, of making sure that everyone on the team is rowing in the same direction and working towards the same goals. Misalignment, especially at that founding stage, can be fatal for a startup.
That makes sense. From your perspective as an investor, what are some of the red flags you look for when assessing a founding team?
One thing I always pay attention to is the dynamic between the founders. Have they worked together before? Do they have a shared history that demonstrates mutual respect and understanding?
So it's not just about picking your smartest friends or the people you get along with best. It's about finding people you can actually build a business with, people who can handle the pressure, the disagreements, the inevitable conflicts that come with building a company.
Absolutely. And it's important to remember that the team will evolve as the company grows. You'll need to bring in new people with different skills and perspectives, but that core values and that shared vision should remain constant.
It's like building a house. You start with a strong foundation, and then you add on as needed. But that foundation needs to be solid to support the weight of everything that comes after.
That's a great analogy. And that foundation is built on trust alignment and a shared commitment to that long-term vision.
Now let's talk about something that often gets overlooked, especially by first-time entrepreneurs, sales, and distribution. Thiel argues that even the most brilliant product won't sell itself.
It's true. He shatters that myth of the build it and they will come mentality. No matter how innovative your product is, you need to have a plan for getting it into the hands of customers.
And that's where distribution comes in. It's about figuring out how to reach your target market, how to convince them to buy your product, and how to deliver it to them efficiently and effectively.
Exactly. And Thiel argues that distribution is just as important as the product itself. In fact, he sees it as an integral part of the business, not just an afterthought.
He even uses this humorous example from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy to illustrate this point, right?
He does. He talks about how Earth is populated by the descendants of a spaceship full of salespeople who were tricked into leaving their home planet. The point is that while salespeople are often seen as a nuisance, they actually play a vital role in connecting products with customers.
It's like building a bridge between the world of innovation and the world of everyday life.
That's a great way to put it, and it's a bridge that every successful company needs to build.
So, what are some of the key takeaways for our listener when it comes to sales and distribution?
First, don't underestimate its importance. Even if you're not a natural salesperson, you need to develop the skills and the mindset to get your product in front of the right people. Second, remember that distribution follows the power law, meaning that a few key channels will likely drive most of your sales. So it's important to experiment and find the channels that work best for your specific product and target market. Don't try to be everywhere at once. Focus your efforts where they'll have the greatest impact. And finally, remember that distribution isn't just about selling your product to customers. It's also about selling your company to employees, to investors, to partners.
It's about telling your story, communicating your vision, and building relationships that will help you succeed.
That's a great way to put it. It's about connecting with people on a human level, about building trust and rapport, and about demonstrating that you're not just selling a product, you're building something meaningful.
Now let's shift gears a bit and talk about the unique role of the founder. Thiel seems to believe that founders have a special kind of insight that can't be replicated. What's so special about founders?
Well, Thiel argues that founders often possess this unique blend of vision determination and an ability to see the world differently. They're often eccentrics, outsiders, or even rebels who challenge conventional thinking and are willing to take risks that others wouldn't.
I'm thinking of people like Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, or even Mark Zuckerberg. These are individuals who didn't just build companies, they built movements.
Exactly. They possess this combination of charisma, technical brilliance, and an almost messianic zeal for their vision. Thiel argues that this kind of founder-led vision is crucial for driving innovation and building truly groundbreaking companies.
He talks about a founder's paradox, right? What's that all about?
Yeah, he observes that successful founders often have seemingly contradictory traits. They're both rebellious and disciplined, idealistic and pragmatic, capable of thinking big while also focusing on the details.
He uses Richard Branson as an example, right?
Yes. Branson really embodies this paradox. He's known for his adventurous spirit and willingness to push boundaries, but he's also a shrewd businessman who pays attention to the bottom line.
So it's not just about being a genius or having a brilliant idea. It's about having that unique blend of traits that allows you to turn your vision into reality.
Precisely. And this is why Thiel believes that founders are often undervalued, especially by large corporations that prioritize process over individual vision.
So for our listener who's thinking about starting their own company, what can they learn from this founder's paradox? How can they cultivate those seemingly contradictory traits?
I think it starts with self-awareness. Understand your strengths and weaknesses and surround yourself with people who complement your skill set. Be willing to challenge yourself, to step outside of your comfort zone and to embrace new ideas. And to be persistent. Building a company is a marathon, not a sprint. There will be setbacks, there will be obstacles, and there will be times when you want to give up. But the founders who succeed are the ones who persevere, who learn from their mistakes, and who never lose sight of their vision. And remember, it's okay to be a little bit eccentric. In fact, it might be your biggest asset.
Now, before we move on to the final part of our deep dive, I wanted to touch on a specific industry that Thiel dissects in the book as a cautionary tale, clean tech. He uses the clean tech bubble of the 2000s to highlight some common mistakes that entrepreneurs make. What can we learn from their failures?
Thiel identifies three main problems that plagued many clean tech companies. First, they often overestimated the size of the market. They got caught up in the hype and assumed that the demand for clean energy solutions would grow much faster than it actually did.
It's easy to get swept up in enthusiasm, especially when you're passionate about your idea. But it's crucial to be realistic about that market potential and to validate your assumptions with data.
Exactly. Second, many clean tech companies underestimated the importance of distribution. They built great products, but they struggled to get them into the hands of customers. They assumed that the technology would sell itself, but they didn't have a clear plan for how to reach their target market.
That brings us back to the importance of having a solid distribution strategy, right? It's not enough to have a great product. You need to know how to get it to the people who need it.
Exactly. And finally, many clean tech companies relied too heavily on government subsidies. They built their business models around government support rather than focusing on creating products that customers would actually pay for.
So it's about building a sustainable business, one that can stand on its own two feet.
Absolutely. Relying on subsidies or other forms of external support can create a false sense of security and distract you from the fundamentals of building a successful business.
I think these lessons are relevant for any entrepreneur, regardless of their industry.
I agree. It's a reminder to be honest about your market, your team, and your path to profitability. Don't get caught up in hype focus on building a product that people actually want, and make sure you have a plan for how to get it to them. That's solid advice for any business.
It is. So as we move into the final part of our deep dive, let's keep these lessons in mind. We've covered a lot of ground, but there's still much to explore in 0 to 1. In part 3, we'll delve into some of Thiel's more provocative ideas about the future of technology, the nature of innovation, and the challenges facing humanity in the 21st century. Welcome back to the deep dive. So in this final part, you know, I'm really curious to dig into some of Peter Thiel's more forward-looking ideas. You know, he really doesn't shy away from tackling some pretty big questions about the future of technology and the role of innovation in, you know, shaping the world that we're creating.
Yeah, he really doesn't. One of the key themes that kind of runs through the whole book is this idea that the future isn't predetermined. We actually have the power to shape it through our choices and our actions and companies that we build.
That's a powerful concept. He's really pushing back against this notion of, you know, technological determinism, right? The idea that technology will inevitably lead us down a specific path. Instead, he seems to be suggesting that we have agency, that we're not just, you know, passive passengers on this technological roller coaster.
Oh, right. Exactly. And he uses the example of the clean tech bubble, which we talked about earlier, to illustrate this point. You know, a lot of people believed that clean energy was the inevitable future, but the industry really struggled, because it didn't focus enough on building commercially viable products and distribution channels. It's a reminder that even the most promising technologies need to be guided by human ingenuity and entrepreneurial vision.
So it's not enough to just invent new things. We need to think critically about how those inventions are used, how they're integrated into society, and what kind of impact they have on the world.
That's a crucial point. Thiel argues that technology is a tool. And like any tool, it can be used for good or for ill.
Right.
It's up to us to decide how we want to wield that tool, what kind of future we want to build with it.
He seems particularly wary of this idea of, you know, a technological singularity, that point where AI surpasses human intelligence, leading to an unpredictable and potentially uncontrollable future.
Right. He's pretty skeptical of that kind of thinking. He believes that we shouldn't cede control of our destiny to machines. Instead, we should be focusing on developing technologies that augment human capabilities, that help us solve problems and create a better world.
It's a much more hopeful and empowering perspective. Mm-hmm. It suggests that, you know, we're not just along for the ride. We actually have the ability to steer the course of technological progress in a direction that benefits humanity.
Exactly. And it ties back to this idea of going from 0 to 1, of creating something truly new and valuable. Thiel believes that we need more entrepreneurs, more innovators, more people who are willing to challenge the status quo and build the future that we want to see.
That's inspiring. But, you know, building a company, especially one that aims to make a real difference in the world, it's incredibly challenging. Thiel doesn't sugarcoat that, does he?
No, he's very realistic about the difficulties and the sacrifices involved. He talks about the long hours, the setbacks, the rejections, that constant pressure to perform. He even compares starting a company to joining a cult.
I remember that. It did seem a bit extreme at first, but I think he's getting at this idea that building a successful company requires an almost obsessive level of dedication and commitment.
Exactly. You need to be passionate about your vision. You need to believe in what you're doing, and you need to be willing to surround yourself with people who share that passion. It's not a lifestyle for everyone, but for those who are drawn to it, it can be incredibly rewarding.
He also talks about, you know, the importance of building a strong company culture, one that's aligned with the company's mission and values. Mm. What are some of the key elements of a healthy company culture, especially for a startup that's, you know, trying to do something new and different?
Well, I think it starts with trust and transparency. You need to create an environment where people feel comfortable sharing ideas, taking risks, and making mistakes. You also need to be really clear about your values, what you stand for, and what you're not willing to compromise on.
So it's more than just, you know, having a cool office space or offering free snacks. It's about creating a sense of purpose, a shared understanding of why the company exists and what it's trying to achieve.
Exactly. And it's about empowering people to do their best work, to be creative, to innovate, and to contribute to something bigger than themselves.
Now, one of the most controversial ideas in Thiel's book is his view of competition. He argues that competition is often destructive, that it can lead to a focus on, you know, incrementalism rather than true innovation. That seems so counterintuitive, especially in a world where, you know, we're constantly told that competition is the engine of progress.
Yeah, it is a challenging concept. But Thiel makes a compelling case. He argues that when companies become too focused on beating their rivals, they often lose sight of the bigger picture. They get caught up in this zero-sum game where everyone loses in the long run.
So instead of trying to be, you know, slightly better than your competitor, he's suggesting that we should aim to be radically different, to create something entirely new that redefines the rules of the game.
Precisely. He believes that monopolies, when they're built on innovation and a genuine desire to create value, can actually be beneficial for society.
He uses Google as an example, right? Yeah. They became the dominant player in search by building a product that was so much better than anything else that was available. And that dominance allowed them to invest heavily in R&D, which led to even more innovation and benefited consumers in the long run.
Right, exactly. And it highlights a key point. True innovation often requires a long-term perspective and the ability to resist that pressure to constantly chase short-term profits.
So it's about building companies that are not just profitable, but also purposeful. Companies that have a positive impact on the world.
Exactly. And that's ultimately what Zero to One is all about. It's a call to action for entrepreneurs to think bigger, to be bolder, and to use their talents and resources to create a better future for everyone.
It's been a fascinating journey exploring these ideas. If our listeners are ready to take the leap and build their own Zero to One company, what's one piece of advice you would give them? Based on your own experience and the insights we've gleaned from Thiel's book.
I would say find a problem that you're truly passionate about solving, something that keeps you up at night, something that you believe will make a real difference in the world. Because building a company is hard, it's demanding, it requires an unwavering commitment. But if you're driven by a deep sense of purpose, if you believe in what you're doing, you'll be much more likely to overcome those inevitable challenges and achieve something truly extraordinary.
That's great advice. And for our listeners who want to dive even deeper into these ideas, be sure to check out the show notes for a link to buy Zero to One and explore Peter Thiel's insights in more detail.
Yeah, it's a book that will challenge your assumptions, expand your horizons, and inspire you to think differently about the future of business and innovation.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Zero to One. And to all our listeners, keep learning, keep exploring, and keep building. Until next time, keep diving.